This is WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings. Two revelations this week about the federal government collecting data on citizens has reignited the debate about when national security trumps individual privacy. First, news that Verizon is providing data about its U.S. customers to the federal government on a daily basis. Then just last night, The Guardian and The Washington Post revealed that the National Security Agency has access to data from internet companies, including Google, Facebook, and Apple. I'm joined now by David Sanger, Chief Washington Correspondent for The New York Times. Welcome back to WNYC, David.
Good to be with you, Amy.
You've reported on issues of national security during both the Bush and Obama administrations. How surprised were you that these policies have been in place in some cases for 6 to 7 years, and by the fact that they've expanded and broadened over time?
I'm not surprised that they've been in place. I mean, I don't think you could be, you know, watching this space since the Bush administration, when first the Times revealed the warrantless wiretapping program, and as you've discovered, the degree to which the National Security Agency has expanded to watch out over cyber threats and so forth, and not expect that the U.S. can go do this. What was new, I think, were two factors. First, the discovery through that revelation of the court order from the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court that Verizon was every day turning over the call logs, not just of domestic to international calls, but domestic to domestic calls, to what appears to be a central repository run by the U.S. government, presumably the National Security Agency. That was new, and there's no reason to expect that the other major carriers aren't doing the same. Now, the statement that was issued by the Director of National Intelligence last night suggested that while they've got this library, they can only pull books off the shelf with a specific court order.
David, I know you're not surprised because you've been covering this for quite some time, but I have to say that I'm consistently surprised by how much President Obama has continued the very policies of the Bush administration that he was so critical of when he was campaigning for the presidency.
Well, Amy, that's certainly a true observation, and that is not limited to this kind of surveillance issue. I mean, think about the main elements of what I call the light footprint strategy in a book I did last year, and those are the drones went up sixfold in attacks in Pakistan from the Bush administration to just the first term of the Obama administration. The use of cyber offensive weapons, you know, Olympic Games, the attacks on, which was the code name for the attacks on Iran. The use of special forces, a favorite of President Bush, and now this, the surveillance issues as well. In each of them, he's not only embraced a Bush-era policy, he's expanded it. Now, he argued today in a brief press availability that he did at the end of a speech in California that he's also increased the level of protection and auditing to make sure this is being used carefully. But, you know, he always says he thinks it's good that we're having a debate on this, but they only have the debate after a revelation like the kind that you've seen in the past couple of days.
And yet he had also campaigned in 2008 about making the federal government more transparent. But was that just the kind of promise made on the campaign trail that when push comes to shove, when you get in office and you embrace the magnitude of the office, you recognize that you can't be transparent about matters of national security?
Well, certainly that seems to be what's happened to this administration. I think the level of transparency is not particularly impressed any of us reporters who have to go out and cover them. It's a fairly closed-mouthed, highly controlled administration, more so than covering even the Bush White House. The question isn't whether you discover that you need to keep things confidential. The president made a case for classification today. The question is, how much effort do you make to declassify and openly talk about things that don't need to be classified? And there we've seen very little effort by this administration.
David Sanger is Chief Washington Correspondent for The New York Times. Thanks so much for joining us, David.
Thank you, Amy.
This is WNYC.